Amen. Amen. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is March 8th, year 2009. It's the second Sunday in Lent. And one thing we talk about too, about the brothers on fasting. I know that older brothers, some people have health conditions, and they cannot abide by the strict fasting rules. But I will still at least say to those brothers, you have to do some type of fasting. And the way you can tell that you're doing some acceptable fasting during Lent is that by the end of Lent, you're losing weight. You're losing some weight. You're not gaining. If you gained weight or stayed the same, you're actually even sinning. I'd say you're sinning because you're not fasting at all. You have to do some type of fasting, even though you can't keep a strict fast. So, and it's even good to lose weight just for your health anyway. But now I talk about some of the brothers that are overweight. Physically, that's their problem, and they have to work on. But other people, like my problem, I said to the brothers, God looks at me and he sees I'm fat in my impatience. I have a problem with being patient, and I have to work on it because I got so many things before me that I need to do. And if I try to do everything at one time, I don't do anything good. So God may look at me and say, Richard, you're heavy in impatience. A pseudo-intellectual has a fat brain. So when people are heavy, that's just another thing they got to work with. That's their thing that they got to work on and try to at least get their weight down to a part where it's not going to hurt their health too much. But they're never going to be as skinny as other people. Some people are naturally heavier by bone construction. That's the way God made it. He doesn't make everybody the same. Not everybody's made to walk around like a stick or even medium weight. Everyone, there is a certain big bone person that by nature is always going to be heavy. But even that person, I would say, you've got to do their best to get their weight down to a degree where it's going to help their health. And what they can do even during Lent is to test themselves that if they're losing weight, that's how they know that they're at least doing something. But if you're staying the same or you're gaining weight, you're not doing anything. And even a pagan doctor will tell anybody who's overweight that you have to work on losing weight because then a lot of your ailments will go away. Even though a lot of people can't always get skinny, you can still at least work at it. Even they show stuff about people exercising and diets and all this to get themselves down, you know. So us Catholics have to do the same thing. So that's advice for people who are heavy and need to lose weight or have medical conditions and cannot fast. But you can at least lose some weight by eating less than you normally do, by watching what you eat, maybe eating stuff that's not as heavy. And during Lent, everybody should be losing weight. And then after Lent's over and you're in a feasting period of time like Easter, we're going to be back to gaining weight again. You know, you gain and you lose. The normal cycle for even monks is that way, or anybody in a Catholic country, because when you're feasting, you're eating more, so you're going to gain some weight. So you fluctuate between 10, 15 pounds or whatever it may be. So by the end of your Lent, you're going to be thinner. Then feasting, you're going to gain back some weight. Then fasting, you're going to lose weight. Now, that makes sense because some people say, well, wait a second. I think we always have to be losing weight. Well, then you're going to disappear. Think about this logically. At the end of Lent, you lose, let's say, 10 pounds. And you went from 180 to 170. Then you go, well, now you have to keep that off. That was good. Now even when you're feasting, you got to lose weight. Well, then you wouldn't be feasting anyway. Okay, so that would rule out feasting. But let's say some prude Puritan person would say that, you know. Okay, then what do I got to do? Well, at least you got to stay at 170. Okay, now comes Lent. Next time, you got to do more. So I got to get down to 160. All right. Then the next Lent, I got to get down to 150. Then the next Lent, I got to get down to 140. And before you know it, I'm down to 90, 80, 70, and my body shriveled up and I'm dead. You see, it's stupid. Some people get crazy with this stuff. I went through this before about it, you know, fast, when we fast, we fast, when we feast, we feast. And there's a fluctuation of weight that's going to take place normally with anybody. And we even got into those stupid, puritanistical so-called Catholics that were really heretics that were overly out on the right. That all eating is wrong, all wine is wrong, all feasting is wrong. Well, that's diabolical. That's puritanistic. You know, you can't eat cooked foods, you can't drink wine and all that. Well, what about our Lord, who himself was drinking wine with his people, you know, and cooked food when it was prescribed? But this is special information about people who are heavy. Now, some people are prejudiced like that. They look at that and say, well, look how bad that is. Well, look how bad my impatience is. It's fat. I'm fat in impatience. A pseudo-intellectual's got a fat brain. A person who's got a temper's got a fat temper. So everybody's got a problem they got to work on, all right? And that's what it is. All right. So this is just advice for people who can't do a strict fast. You still got to be doing some type of fasting or losing weight. And that's the way you can tell if you haven't sinned at the end of Lent. If at the end of Lent you're at the same weight you were when you started Lent, then you sinned. And then God will even punish you by not giving you a good Easter feasting season and bring all kinds of sicknesses upon you that you would not have had if you at least did some type of fasting. The person we kicked out wouldn't do any penance of any sort. Any little thing we said, no, I can't do that, no, I can't do this, plush, luxury, everything. You know, and that's where it ends. If you don't do some types of penance and mortifications, and it shows an idolization of the world and your own body and a pampering and a luxury. And there's other problems when a person is like that. We see major problems with a person like that with their own moral life and in other ways. They're shambles. The devil's very quick to tell you, well, you don't do that, that's going to hurt you. Don't do this, that's going to hurt you. You even see about the one guy that gets so paralyzed by stuff like that because he doesn't want to take chances even, which is really the lack of the spirit of martyrdom. In one of the scriptures it says, the man's afraid to even go down outside the block because a lion might come out and kill him. Or there might be a snake's going to bite them, you know, or someone's going to hit me, or someone's going to do this, so they're locking themselves up and they don't do anything. And they're worried about the germs are on doorknobs and they're cleaning doorknobs for germs and everything. And they're, the guy Howard Hughes, I think, was the ultimate fanatic with all that. And what happens with these people, God curses them. They do become susceptible. They do fall plague to all these things because they think it's because people try to give you a medical solution because they weren't toughened to it. And they say bums are stronger because they don't care about that stuff. Bums live longer. Bums are really tougher because they're right out there with all the germs. There might be something behind that, maybe in the natural order. But there's also a curse from God that goes on when you're overly concerned about your health, overly, to the point where you get crazy about it. You can do too extreme. You go too many penances. You get people who come in, they want to take on the whole world. That's the other extreme. They want to do all these penances. They want to not take like a Superman. And they do it for about a month or two and burn out. And then they end up doing no penances at all and fall out of the church altogether. You can go to two extremes. And you get that person who comes in and wants to take on the whole world. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be so ascetical. And look at that person with a month or two. He falls away and doesn't do anything. If you just go like that steady down the road with the moderate and the regular normal penances, that's what God requires of you. These other people burn out and in a month or two they're gone and they're out. It's really out of pride is what they're doing now, for the wrong motive. And then when we had the other one here about what you can eat, what you can't eat. If I eat this, this happens. My skin gets this happens, and I do this, I get that, I get this. And when the sun's out here at that, I get this. And that, you know, when they're around, always got to, you know, which you can picture him as being like carried on a chair so you don't have to walk around with an umbrella on air and an air conditioner blowing on them in the desert and giving them everything they want and feeding them. And I mean, they just want to be pampered. You know, it's almost like some of these people in the utmost when you see they just don't even want to get out. They lay in bed and they eat in bed. They don't even get out of their beds. Carry me around in my bed, you know. So I don't even have to get out of bed, you know. When you don't pamper these people, they call you a tyrant. So it's a good one for Lent and to let people know what it means to make sacrifices, to mortify yourself, to help keep your body in check so you don't become dominated by the world of flesh and the devil. Because the world's always out there trying to make you fall in love with this world and your own flesh as this is all you got. And you're not taking any consideration of your soul and the ultimate things that matter, which is spiritual things, the things of God and the soul and the fact that this world's an enemy of God, you are going to have a conflict. When it comes to the Christian combat, I mean, we have to be able to accept mortifications and penances. And if we can't do one type of penance, substitute it with another. And if we can't do another, substitute it with another. And that's most of the complaints we're getting right here. There is no such thing as Lent anymore out there in this world. Even all these traditionalists, so-called Catholics, they're not really Catholic. But the reason they're having so many problems is because they indulge themselves. The Americanist democracy spirit of capitalism is really, really bad. The communist countries like North Korea and China do not, at least the outer areas of China, not the big cities now that have been Americanized and capitalized, at least know that value. They know the value and they're not as materialistic. Materialism is so bad because it glorifies the flesh. So let this help all the brothers and anybody who's listening to this sermon make a good Lent. Amen. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.